kind of a dramatic video or a dramatic song for just an easy video. How are we doing? Doing all right? All right, so what's the title of the series that we're in tonight? Flipped. And that we've been in for a week and we'll be in for another week? Flipped. And so we're talking about flipped, the fact that Jesus came into someone's life, said something, did something, whatnot, and flipped someone's life upside down, basically. Like, turned it around for them. I have a few images that I was thinking about when I thought about this series. I'm like, how do I illustrate this? Like, how do we get the point across that, like, something was one way, and now it's just, like, totally different, right? And so you guys may have seen these before, but I thought they were really cool. And so the first image right here is of a nurse on the left. All right. If you flip her upside down, she's what?
Alien.
An alien. No, I don't know. Maybe just like an old grumpy lady or something. I mean, maybe not grumpy. She seems disgruntled. She seems like she needs a nurse to care for her. And the next photo, we have a princess. And yeah, I think that's a dude on the right. I'm not sure because he's got like a goatee. I'm not sure of anyone that has a goatee. But he's got the big nose. Do you see his nose? It was her bangs or his nose. Whatever. Anyway, the next photo. Ooh. That's crazy, right? You see it? It's the same thing, just flipped. I guess they did it like this, right? So you don't see it? You can't see it? Death. Life, maybe if you kind of like sit back. I don't know. You can't do anything. If you can't see it, you can't see it. I'm sorry. It's not my fault. All right, next photo. Ooh. Something that's totally one way and now totally different. Right, wrong? They did the same thing. I think they flipped it like this and they shot it with a paintball or something. All right, this next one is going to blow your mind. And I'm probably going to lose all of you. But it's a video, and I saw it, and I fell out of my chair. It starts off as two giraffes. Before we play, I'm just going to let you know. And then it totally changes into something else. Just watch. All right, Ian. Two giraffes, and it's like, it's a 3D image, right? One more time. Two giraffes. And then before you even know what you're looking at, it's an elephant. That's true. That's good. It's a good video. I created it myself. I didn't. You're right. All right. Okay. So, tonight we're going to talk about the fact that Jesus would come into someone's life and do that with them. Like, they would totally be thinking or living one way. Guys, eyes up here. And then he'd come into life and it would totally be different, right? Last week, Greg talked about Zacchaeus, right? And he was saying, his main point was that your life is flipped when you know that you are loved by God. When you realize that you're loved by God, truly loved by God for who you are, your life's flipped upside down. Like Zacchaeus' life was just flipped upside down. This week, we're going to talk about something that everyone in this room has, a name. When there's a story that we're going to look at in a minute about a woman in the Bible that was given a name. Guys, eyes up here. That was given a name, and when she was given this name, everything flipped upside down, just like those words and everything else, right? Okay, so name. A name is pretty common. A name everyone has. My name is Catlin, if you don't know me, if you're here for the first time. And I've been called a lot of different names, like nicknames, as you will, along the way. They've been, I got it. Yeah. Kit Kat.
Yes.
Cat Dog. Doglin. It takes a minute, but it didn't really stick. Katniss. K-Dog. I'm really giving you a lot of ammunition, I realize. One of my favorites, wait for it, in L.A., my friend Ben, he literally took the time, every time he said this, to say the whole thing. But he'd be like, what's up, cat dog, meow. And I was like, and he would always just say, hey, cat dog, meow, can you get this over here? I'm like, why are you taking all that? It's just Catlin. I'm not joking. And Cat, Shelley's favorite for me is Cat, and the Joiners. I don't not like it, but I don't like love it. I'm indifferent. Anyway, and then of course, the ever so infamous Caitlin. Yeah, that's not fun. When I was growing up, when I was your age, all right, I know it's hard. When I was your age-ish, I was a freshman in high school, so 1 year. I was just joining the football team, basically. So you stand in a line, and the coaches are at the end of it, and you walk forward, and you say your name, and then what position you play, right? And so it's like, blah, 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 I play quarterback, blah, blah, I play linebacker. And, then I went up, and I was like, Catlin Miller, wide receiver. And they were like, oh, we thought we had a girl on the team. Oh, Catlin. I was like, that's funny, because they thought my name was Caitlin. Or on the first day of school, you know how the teachers will go, they'll be like, John, Sam, Michelle. They're always like, and you have to say present. They're always like, Caitlin Miller. And I'm always like, oh, God. It's me. Oh, no, I was like, it's actually Catlin. And the teacher goes, oh, do you know where she is? And I was like, no, it's not. It's me. It's a guy. So, a name's a name. Maybe you guys have faced with the different, the similar situations. I know, it's pretty bad. Eyes up here. Eyes up here, eyes up here, eyes up here. Are you okay? It's hard to see. Maybe you guys have been faced with the similar situations, right? Nicknames, mispronunciation of your names, right? But, everybody look up here. But names are just names, right? And, well, actually, it can be very, very important, right? I want to be called my name. That's my name. Actually, I have my birth certificate. I don't know if they showed you already. But I am Catlin Alden Miller, born then and then and then and then and where, right? And so, like, that's actually, thank you. That's actually, it's not that exciting. That's actually my name. You can take it off. My name that I like to be called, and I don't really like to be called anything. That's how I identify myself. That's my name, right? Some of us get other names that we like. Like maybe it's nicknames that you like, right? So maybe some people have come up with nicknames that you like, or compliments, right? Oh, you're smart, or you're funny, or you're athletic, or you're handsome, right? Everybody look up here. Sometimes the names that we're called, like some of the ones that I even shared about myself, you really don't love to hear about yourself, or are in fact degrading to you, or aren't the best names to be called that anyone would like. So I've put a few up here. I have a few hello, my name is cue cards right here. And so weak, right? So no one wants to be called weak, but maybe you're sitting out here right now tonight and you've been looked at as just someone who's not very strong or weak, or maybe a nerd, right? Someone who's like, yeah, you are smart, but you're labeled as a nerd or a loner or annoying or weird or ugly, right? Let me get through this quick. All right. Hey, guys. Again, so when I'm up here and talking, if I ask you a question, yeah, you can answer it. But unless I pose a question, guys, eyes up here, that it's going to be really helpful for us to get through the evening if you guys just focus up here. And so when I ask a question, yeah, I'd love to hear feedback from you. But other than that, it's going to be harder for us to get through the evening if you're just talking the whole time. But these names right here, weak, loner, annoying, weird, we can go on and on and on and on, right? There's names that we don't like to be, basically they're labels, right? Things that we're called that we don't like to be called. Well, we're going to look at a story in the Bible tonight about a woman who was labeled in a pretty bad way, and then Jesus came in and flipped it upside down. So if you guys have your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark 5. The story also takes place in Matthew and in Luke, but we're going to look at it in Mark. And before this story, Jesus has cast demons out of someone, and he's healing people, right? And this rich, kind of powerful guy is like, hey, Jesus, my daughter is 12 years old, which is really important for you to remember, because it kind of comes back into play. My daughter, my only daughter, is 12 years old, and she's dying. And I really need you to follow me, and I want you to heal her. And so Jesus is following this rich, kind of powerful man, to help heal his 12-year-old only daughter. So that's where the story picks up. And he gets a little bit distracted. So we're going to look at the first verse, Mark 5, 20, verse 24 says, so Jesus went with him. And the him in this story is what I just said, the rich, kind of powerful man who has a daughter. And a large crowd followed and pressed in around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And so the setting here is this woman who has this illness and this sickness and this disease that she can't get healing for, right? And it says that she's suffered for 12 years and that she's not getting any better. She's seen a lot of people and she's not getting any better. And so you could, in theory, everyone around her, this sickness, the bleeding and that everyone knew about for that she'd been suffering for 12 years, you can see in bold here all of the different ways that people could label her, right? And I have a few that I'm going to add to this man right here. Poor, right? So I am adding poor because it says in verse 26, she suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all that she had. So she's now just at her wit's end. She's poor. And so everyone may walk around and be like, oh, that's that poor lady that doesn't have any money. Or maybe, let's do this in a minute. Or gross, right? So they could be like, ooh, like she's sick, don't touch her. In fact, with this sickness that she had, people wouldn't go near or actually couldn't touch her because then they'd have to be banished and then they'd have to be cleansed and then brought back. So you're going to stay away from this woman because she's gross. Like that was a label that maybe she wore back in that time. Or sick, obviously, right? So she's just sick and everyone knows she's sick and everyone knows she's been sick for a long time and no one's going to go near her because that's weird. Sinner, right? So some people back in the day also thought that maybe God would cause diseases to come on people because they were sinning and they were living a sinful life. And so she's obviously been sick for how long? 12 years. That's about the age, that is the age of some of you in this room. For 12 years, she's been sick and people have been labeling her this way, right? Sinner, gross, weak, maybe even a loner, right? Because no one's going to touch her, right? So she's definitely a woman in the Bible who has a lot of labels that she doesn't want. Let's take a look at what happens next. In Mark verse 5, chapter 5, verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I can just touch his clothes, then I will be healed. She didn't say anything. She wasn't approaching him like, oh, Jesus, I need to stop you for a second. I've had this condition for 12 years. And like, she was just like, if I can just touch his clothes, then I'll be healed. Next verse. Immediately her bleeding stopped. So she did. She touched his clothes. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. 12 years. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? So Jesus realized that someone touched his clothes. Power had left him, like power had entered into someone else. The power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus had entered into someone else and healed a woman. Obviously, he noticed. And there's, remember earlier, so the crowds were just pressing in around him. So just think, Jesus is walking and there are, think about you're at a football game. There's just a ton of people around Jesus, like crowding in, right? And so he goes, someone touched my clothes. And so let's go to the next verse. You see the people crowding in, or his disciples were saying, you see the people crowding against you, and yet you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. So obviously plenty of people are touching because they're bumping up against him. And his disciples are like, dude, like there's plenty of people that are touching your clothes. Like, I don't know how we're going to find out who touched your clothes. And then the woman, knowing what had happened, so Jesus is like still looking for who this was, knowing what had happened to her, meaning knowing that she had been healed, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. So she basically was just fessed up and was like, just told him the whole truth of what she'd been dealing with. Next verse. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Right? That moment when he says, daughter, the label that he had given her, or the label that everyone else had given her, was ripped away. All these labels we're gone, right? He says, daughter. And immediately, she is labeled as his child. He goes, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your sufferings. You're no longer, everyone's looked at you as someone they don't like. They think it's disgusting. They want to stay away from. They think it's weird. For 12 years, you've been in this sickness. And he goes, daughter. It's the first and only time Jesus has called someone else in the Bible his daughter, right? And it was the term daughter, obviously it's not his literal daughter. It was, if you were to translate it, it's just an endearing type of a word that means daughter. Like, you are mine. I want you to know that you are mine. You are his child. And I want you to go and sin. Your sins have been forgiven. And you've been freed from your suffering, right? And so, yes, she was healed physically. But it was so much more than that. What happened on the board just now? All the weight of all the labels, of all the things that everyone said that she was. There's like those images we looked at earlier, flipped upside down. He's like, no, that's not you. I love you. You're mine. You're wanted. And I am calling you daughter to show you that you are my child and that I love you. And that she basically had this, it says your faith has healed you, right? Your trust in me. Now remember back, Ian, can you pull up the first couple of verses? It was verse 24. Remember back at the beginning, it says, verse 26, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she got worse. She went to everyone, and after she exhausted all of her options, she was just getting worse. She couldn't get better. And he's like, because your faith has healed you, because you trusted in me, right? You came to me for your healing. And now all the physical and all the labels that she had been posted have been torn away. He took all that hurt she has dealt with in the past and totally changed her future. All right. So eyes up here. Everyone looking, if you're taking notes, eyes up here. I know that middle school is really difficult sometimes. And that people put labels on us as well as middle schoolers, right? I remember in middle school, certain things that people would call me that I didn't like. And I know that you can get a lot of labels from other people, but family members or teachers or coaches or friends or what have you, or just people you don't even know, putting labels on you. But Jesus wants to do the same thing for you. If you're his child, if you've accepted Christ into your heart, he says, you are my child. You're loved, and that's all you need to know. Like, you're my child. Like, I don't even see a formation of a human being anymore. I just see that you're my child. You're his. You're his child, and you're loved. And that's the only label that you need. That's the only thing that you need to move forward, right? Not all these other things that we can even call ourselves, that we let people call us. It's that we're loved by him, and that's what continues to heal us. That continues to set us free, right? So I want to throw two questions out here for you to think about as you're thinking about this even in small group and moving forward as to what it means to be his child. And the first one is, who gets to label you, right? We go through school, we go through our day, and we're allowing all these other people, some of whom we don't know, to label us. Are you allowing God to label you as his child? Who has authority to label me, right? Who knows me well enough to label me? No one but God, who created me, knows me better than that. And he calls me his child. Yet we're allowing everyone else to label us, and we're like, yeah, that's it. If I look at this list long enough and someone calls me weak and I believe that I'm weak and they say that I'm weak and other people say that I'm weak and no one says that I'm strong and they just keep saying I'm weak and weak and weak and weak, I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm weak. But I'm allowing them to label me. I'm like, not Christ in me. So who gets to label you? And the second question is, who gets to label others? Be thinking about that. I was thinking about that for myself. Like, we can label others at our school. Maybe we're not even doing it verbally, but we're labeling them in our minds, right? In Williamson County, it's easy. Like, oh, they're the rich kid over here. Or this one's really smart because he always makes all the good grades. Or this one's really annoying. Or this one's whatever. You can start to label other people. No, God's the only one that gets to label others and the only one that gets to label you. So I want you to think about that going into small groups, is what labels you've been believing that are lies about yourself that you put on yourself or that others have put on you. And then think about what your life would look like if you allow God to label you as his child. On your way out, in just a few minutes, I have these Hello, My Name Is stickers that you can grab if you like. No, you don't have to. That say his child. And what I want you to do with this is not put it on your shirt tonight because then you're never going to see it again. But take it and put it in a notebook, in a book, on a mirror in your room, somewhere where you can stick it or maybe just place it. That'll remind you every day that this is your label. You are his child. And knowing that moving forward, well, you're not going to continue to suffer under the labels that other people give you that aren't true. Let me pray for us, and then I have one bit of instruction before we leave. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to gather around with friends and listen to your truth and hear your word tonight. And I pray that we'll continually just look to you first and foremost when we start to label ourselves, to judge ourselves, when we're getting where we get our strength, where we get our power, where we get our endurance. And I pray that it comes from you first and foremost, not from our friends or parents or not from our coaches or teachers or the people at our school, Lord. But I pray that when we look at ourselves in the mirror when we get up, or when we look at ourselves in the practice field, or when we look at ourselves during an exam or on a trip or during the dance recital, that we'll see ourselves as your child. I pray that you just continually put people around us that will remind us of that. And I pray that your word, that as we continue to search your word, that we'll continue to see that, that you'll reveal that to us, that we are your child. We are your children. I pray that you bless our time together in our small groups as we continue to talk about some of the honest and open questions that we have and some of the struggles that we may have going into small group about the labels that have been placed on us. I pray that you'll just prepare the space and the time to talk about that with the leaders and with all the students in this room. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.